get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, oh, oh. With only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tap my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide for life. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music.
I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Cologne, strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trace.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. With only good music. Oh.
Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome to this special session of Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I am your host, the mediator, a.k.a. the Shiro at your ground zero. I am C. Maria Wall. Thank you so much for joining here. As always, we opened up with Ms. Tori Lee's Good Music, and tonight I have a great guest with a wonderful book. We're going to have wonderful discussion and listen to chapter reading. I tell you all something. The first time that Ann Thomas was here, we had an absolute ball. And she's back. And out of the first meeting, by the way, I received the vision for the Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement, for those of you who participated in that. Lord only knows what's going to be birthed tonight, but I can tell you that this is going to be an anointed event. We will be opening up the lines a little bit later. Welcome to all of the guests who are logging in our call query and those in the chat room. If you would like to participate in the chat and you're in the chat room and you're logged in as a guest, you can do it two ways. Give us a call at 646-478-4726. Get on the call query. Press the number one on your phone when I announce it, and you will be put in the call query. Or you can log in under a screen name in our show chat room. And for those of you over on Facebook, hello, hello to everyone over on our Facebook events page. Hello, thank you so much for being here tonight. Let me just give you a little bit of information about my dear beloved sister Ann Thomas. Ann Thomas is back for a very special chapter reading, commentary, and discussion. There's nothing better than listening to the author speak the words of their books to life. a living testimony to God's goodness, grace, and mercy. Anne is all too familiar with living a life beneath her God-given potential. God has done miraculous works in her life over and over again, and it's Anne's desire to encourage, equip, and empower women all over the world to rise up and take authority over their lives. Jesus is coming back soon, and he is looking for an army of praying, bold, and destiny-driven women to take the world by storm. We have an adversary. His name is Satan, and he has stolen much from the body of Christ. But the church must rise up and say no more. It's time to take our families, marriages, children, schools, and communities back by force. It's time to reclaim what God intended for us, his daughters. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, once upon a time, she came here as a guest, and she left as a friend and my dear sister in the spirit. With that said, I am welcoming my sister Anne Thomas back to Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. So everyone sit back, kick off your shoes. I hope you've gotten your favorite beverages and everything taken care of, because we are about to have an anointed 2 hours. So Anne, my sister, welcome back, my love.
Ooh, you know what? I don't even want to read. I just want to listen to you talk. I just want to listen to you talk, the Shiro from Ground Zero. Oh, my gosh. You know what? Nobody would ever believe that I have not had a chance to lay eyes on you in the natural and hug you in the natural, because spiritually speaking, we have met 1,000 times and we have hugged 1,000,000 times. And so it is just amazing to me, you know, what this social media can do. And just when God puts things together, he does it so well. He, you know, he doesn't lack in anything. He does.
Yes.
So, yes. I mean, he's given me like this uncontainable love that I have for you, woman, and I've never donned your presence, but I cannot wait. It's going to be some party up in somewhere when you and I finally bump together.
This is true. Oh, my gosh. For our guests, I'm sorry. We do a lot of laughing. We'll be crying by the end, because Ann will say something, and she'll make me bring out the realness.
Yes.
And once that happens, we'll probably be in stitches.
Yep. I told her that enemy was trying to come and give us all kind of technical difficulties. So I said, see, Maria, if it's just you and me on the call, we're going to still have a good time. That's just the bottom line.
That's right, because what you all don't know is that I have had major illness in the past few days, but in 10 minutes before showtime, I was still trying to log back on. Nothing was working here. But I said, God, I know you're a mighty God.
Amen.
Now, you helped me to be well enough to do the show. Now everything else is sick. So I need you to sprinkle some of that technical healing.
Amen. And come on.
Here we are. So I'll tell you all, if you ever have any doubt, it doesn't have to be some great worldwide miracle. There's miracles in the little things. Look for the little things. The little miracles add up to that wonderful, humongous blessing. So I'm going to shut up now, and I'm going to turn
this over. That's all right. I'm listening to you preach. You better get your preach on.
I'm going to turn this over. Because you all know, Minister Ann is here. I am a visionary and a realist. But I love doing this because I love to talk, but I also love to listen. So tonight, we're going to be listening. This is a brand new segment for this Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. When we do our author showcase, they will be reading excerpts from their books. Then we will have discussion. And before we start again, welcome to the guests in the chat room, Sister Tina Hobson from I Am a Superwoman Radio. Thank you for being here. And hello to the however many of you it is, because the call query is full. Welcome, welcome, welcome. From area codes 202-678-910-908-609 and so many others.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here this evening. And with that said, I'm going to turn it over to my dear sister, Ann Thomas, the author of beautiful, beautiful book, The Consecrated Cocoon.
Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. So, you know, where I'd like to start, if it's okay with you, is I just kind of want to kind of share a little bit about how this book even came to be, because some people, you know, see the title, and we all understand what cocoon is, but it's like, what in the world is consecrated? You know, that word is all over the Bible, but, you know, the society that we live in today, we don't like to call sin what it is. We don't believe in consecration, you know, we got, you know, so it's just as bad inside the church as it is outside of the church. And so, you know, when the Lord gave me the word consecrated, I really did a study on it. And, you know, it's not anything deep. It just means to be set apart for God's use. And so, you know, to be set apart for his use means that we can't just come to him and expect him to use us in any old condition. When he sets us apart, he's calling us to be holy like he's holy. He's calling us to be pure like he's pure. He's calling us to be loving like he's loving. He's calling us to be forgiving like he's forgiving. So, I mean, consecration is a serious thing, and God desires for all of us to be consecrated, to be set apart for his use. And so, you know, how is it that you can be consecrated and then we have the cocoon? Well, you know, a lot of the book was birthed from the process of the caterpillar. You know, everybody knows that, I mean, you could talk to a two-year-old and they can tell you that a caterpillar goes into the cocoon and comes out as a butterfly. But sis, when I really did a study on that thing, next to childbirth, that process is one of the most amazing things, because that caterpillar is in the, you know, I write it in here, it's in a protective place of that cocoon. That cocoon is both a place of preparation and also protection, because what a lot of you who are in the preparation mode, and preparation meaning God's about to do something more in your life, something greater. He's about to take you deeper, higher, wider, that when we're being prepared, we also have to be protected, because there are many predators around us that when they see what God is doing, there are a lot of people, don't get it twisted, everybody that's around you is not for you. And so there are people, because the caterpillar, the cocoon serves as a protection against animals that would try to eat him at his most vulnerable state. So if you think about when God is getting ready to prepare us, most times we are vulnerable. Why? Because he's taking away every bit of comfort zone we've ever had. I don't know, have you been there, like when God is getting ready to do something great in your life, that all of a sudden stuff starts shifting and changing, and things you used to be able to depend upon, things you used to be able to hold on to, he just removes all of that, so that the only one you have to hold on to is what? Him.
That's right.
It's just him, right? So he starts shaking stuff up, and then there are people who are around you, I don't know whether it's jealousy or, you know, whether they're intimidated, or some people, listen, they just don't understand it because they're not at that level where you are. But whatever the reason is, they become predators. They try to stop or hinder, speak against what God is doing. So God's got to put us in a place of protection while he's preparing us. So that caterpillar, when he goes in, he's hanging upside down, sis. I mean, like in the most, you can't be in a more of a posture of surrender than hanging upside down. I mean, when you hang upside down, you're like, okay, God, you just got this. You know, I can't run, I can't move, I'm here for you to do whatever you want. And that's the posture of the caterpillar. And so if he's in there, he's upside down, he's vulnerable, then what God is doing is he's protecting him in that place. And so when God showed me that whole process, he then said to me, that's how it is when I call my beloved, my sons, my daughters, into a place of what initially feels like isolation. You know, he calls us in, or sometimes we go tumbling, and it doesn't matter how we get there, is that we find ourselves there, right? You wake up one day, it just feels like a ton of people are around you, but nobody understands you. People are praying for you, but they're not feeling and going through what you're going through. So you feel isolated. And what God does is he takes that isolation and he turns it into a time of intimacy. And during that time of intimacy, we usually show up in that cocoon battered, disappointed, rejected, just a lot of things that God doesn't intend for us to carry. And when we show up there, the reason we're in there is because God wants to do a great exchange, just like the exchange with the caterpillar. You know, he takes away the legs because he's now going to have wings. He takes away his mouth because he's going to eat in a different way. It's the same with us. He takes away those things that have attached themselves to us, or even things that we've grabbed onto and held onto as a place of comfort. But he wants to take those things away and replace them with the things that we will need when he opens that cocoon and sends us off soaring. And so that, in the nutshell, is the book, though I share some of my testimony in there, and I may share a little bit of that tonight. But it really is about helping readers understand that when God is getting ready to do something huge in our lives, He's got to pull us into a place where he sets us apart so that he can do the work that's necessary before he releases us. And a lot of times we don't understand it, so we fight against the process.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the cocoon trying to take stuff in there that don't belong in there. Some of us try to crack it and get out prematurely because the pain, it hurts. It's too lonely. We try to bring other people in there. It's not for somebody else. It's just for us.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. Anything you want to share?
Yeah,
you
made a very good comment about the cocoon itself, because so many people in life, I have yet to see, now it may happen, but I have yet to see multiple butterflies or moths or whatever come out of that cocoon. Maybe two. At some point, but it's doubtful. But some people, you want to try to pull all of these people into your space, into your world, into your place, till it gets to the point where they don't have any room to grow. You can't spread your wings if you have shoulder-to-shoulder people who don't need to be in your space. You don't need it. And once your wings start to try to escape and get away, they'll be stifled. They won't be able to stretch out. And before you know it, when you don't use your limbs, you don't exercise and things, what happens? It gets harder for you to move. Your joints start to hurt. And before you know it, you're just sitting stationary because it hurts too badly to move anymore. It's the same principle. The cocoon is for you and only you. That's your personal space so that you can be molded by the great I am, so that when you emerge, you will be able to spread your wings, my beautiful butterflies, and soar with the eagles. I'm sorry. This is your show. Go ahead.
No, you better speak that word. Listen, we're gonna be bouncing off of each other tonight. It is. That's why I stopped. took a pause for the cause. I said, okay, so what you have to say about that?
That's how we do it, people. And once we open up the lines, we want you to be involved. Because this is not the C. Maria Wall show. This is our show. Sister Tina Hobson of the I Am a Superwoman Talk Radio, she's manning both the event chat room and the Facebook page. So people, please get involved. If you're on the Facebook page, go ahead, talk, communicate, meet someone new. That's what this is about. This is about uplifting each other. This is going to be wonderful. We have little over an hour and a half, so we have a lot to cover. But make sure that you meet someone. Get on the call line if you'd like to be on air. But please join us. But sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is our time. This is our book club. This is our beloved sister. So, we are about to get started, I'm sure. So go ahead. And I'm turning it back over to Sister Ann.
All right, I'll be coming back at you. So for those of you who have your books with you, I'm going to be reading a little bit from a short chapter titled Protection, Not Punishment, because it goes along with kind of what I said earlier, and it begins on page 170, and it's titled Protection, Not Punishment. So I pray as I read this that God really gives you, I don't want you to just listen. I want you to listen with your spiritual ears. I want you to listen to it and say, God, if there's anything in me, if there's anything that I've been blinded to, anything that I've been deceived about, anything revelatory that you can show me, God, just show me. As a matter of fact, Father, I just pray that right now in Jesus' name, that those who are here, thank you for their spirit of expectation. Thank you for their openness just to not only fellowship tonight, but to learn something new about you, God, to learn something new about themselves, and to fellowship one with another and encourage each other tonight, because that's what it's all about. So we just thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So protection, not punishment. It says, once we surrender to the consecration process, we realize the hidden value of this time alone with God. However, before we settle in and embrace the process, we often view a time of isolation as torturous and punitive. We believe we did something drastically wrong, and this is God's way of correcting us. Here's the reality. We typically end up in a place of needed consecration for one of two reasons. One, we made some sort of unwise decision that got us terribly off track, and God wants to help us get back on track. Or two, God is ready to take us to a new level in Him, and He needs our undivided attention. Many of us say we want more of God and want to do more for Him. Well, newsflash, new levels mean more responsibility, and God needs to know that we can handle it. So He tests us, or He allows a test to come our way to see how we respond. After all, we need to show ourselves trustworthy to handle more treasures of the kingdom. You aren't the first person to be called into a place of isolation, into a dry and barren wilderness. Both Moses and Jesus were led by God, not by Satan, to a place of isolation so He could prepare them for the great things He was about to do in and through them. I know this might not be easy to swallow, but regardless to how or why you end up in this place, out of His great love for you, God will take advantage of having you to Himself. If you remain with Him, He promises that you will emerge from your experience a new woman, a woman of renewed faith, authority, and power. When we're in our spiritual cocoon or our time of consecration, the war is still being waged all around us. The battle is still being fought, but we are strategically hidden while God fights for us and while He keeps us safe. One of the reasons the caterpillar is hidden away during her transformation process is to keep predators at bay. Her cocoon is designed to prevent them from hindering the process or attacking her during a time of complete vulnerability. Like the caterpillar, we too are vulnerable during the time of consecration, and God knows that, so he hides and protects us. Psalm 91:4 says, God protects us under his wings. His wings are the place of refuge, protection, and escape. Well, you may ask, escape from what? The war that God is winning on our behalf. The time of isolation is not about punishment. It's about purification. Remember, you were set apart, which means you can't act like everyone else. You can't think and talk like everyone else. You can't respond to trials like everyone else. So he pulls you out of the world, sits you on his lap, so he can talk to you one-on-one and face-to-face. In a time of reflection and repentance, a time to listen to your daddy's heart as he shares the things that he is grieved about, this is a time where he lovingly asks you to take a long, deep, hard look at your life, relationships, priorities, passions, and pursuits, and figure out where is he in all of it. This is a time where he reveals your man-made idols that took Jesus off the throne and became self-appointed saviors. He wants you to dethrone them and put his son Jesus back where he rightfully belongs. This is also a time for you to share your heart with him, share your disappointments, share your desires, give him your hurts and your pain, and ask for forgiveness and forgive those who've injured you. Give him your rejection. And by the way, oftentimes, man's rejection is God's protection. Interestingly enough, the caterpillar metamorphosis process points out that the cocoon is a place of protection from predators, because inside the cocoon, the caterpillar is defenseless, vulnerable. In our time of consecration, we're letting our guard down. We're dropping our defenses. We're allowing God to be our defender. We're no longer self-protecting. We're trusting that God is hiding us from our enemies. So while the caterpillar submits to the process, other larger insects or animals can easily take advantage of her. It's the perfect opportunity to catch her off guard. Well, guess what? It's the same for you and me. Don't think that everyone around you wants to see you become the butterfly you were created to be. Some would like to hinder your metamorphosis process and see you remain a caterpillar, just like them. While you're in a place of vulnerability, they seek to take advantage of you. They want to keep you in the low-lying areas, crawling around with their caterpillar crew instead of soaring high above with other butterflies. Beware of those who are trying to rescue you from a time that God has set aside specifically for you and him. They will try to give you a way of escape. They will tell you that you simply need to move on. In other words, don't go through your process of healing. Go around it. They'll say things like, oh, that husband didn't realize how good he had it, but there's a man out there for you, so go find him. Go get the love that you deserve. They'll tell you this isn't a time to be weak, but instead it's a time to be strong. They encourage self-focus rather than God-focus. Beware of these people. A word of wisdom. During this time, seek to surround yourself with other spiritual butterflies, those who have submitted themselves to God's consecration process, those whose lives are totally surrendered to the Lord and can coach you through the process using the wisdom of God. Stick with those with whose lives bear fruit of their surrender and transformation. Finally, Matthew 7:16 says, you will know them by their fruit. Who is them? Those who are serving God with their whole hearts and fully embrace his will and not their own. And what's their fruit? Their lifestyle. Their walk matches their talk. Why is it important? Because anyone who is truly growing and being used by God is like a tree that bears fruit. The health and usefulness of a tree is determined by the quality of its fruit. A fruit-bearing tree that bears no fruit is useless to a farmer. In the kingdom of God, a non-surrendered, non-yielding Christian is useless to God. Watch out for non-fruit-bearing men and women who want to snatch you out of your place of growth, refuge, and protection, and thrust you into the line of fire for the enemy to defeat you. Those who truly love the Lord will encourage you to remain in that secret, intimate place with him until he releases you. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh,
amen.
That was chock-full, wasn't it? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my goodness, yes. You know, I know that you had told me earlier that you were still praying on which parts of the book to share this evening, but for all of our guests, and I know that I had shared this with you when we had spoken about you coming back on the show. For all of you listening, some of you do not know my story, but for those that do, tonight would have been my 6-year wedding anniversary had I decided to stay with my abuser. I may not be living, but we were married on August the 16th of 2008. So for me, when I turned it all over to God and he wrapped me in my cocoon with nothing but my faith, forgiveness, and 4 cents, I understand what Sister Ann was just talking about, because when I surrendered to the great I am, my transformation started. And it's not an easy road when the person who promised to love, honor, and cherish you till death do you part, flips the script, does a total 180 on you, and becomes a stranger, not only in your home, in your bed, in your heart, mind, body, spirit, and soul. So again, this show has meant so much to me to have Sister Ann on tonight, because when I emerged from my consecrated cocoon, you know, just like the butterfly, they have to wait a while, the wings have to dry off, and they have to get stronger. It's the same principle, ladies and gentlemen. When we're recovering from some type of a trauma, and for those of you who don't know my story, I am a survivor of domestic violence, dehumanizing treatment, and spousal rape. So, I know what it was like to look in a mirror and not recognize the person who I saw. So this is a very special show for me this evening. And for those of you who know exactly what I'm talking about, feel free to chime in. If you're in the call query and you'd like to share your experience or comment for this, our first reading of the evening, press the number 1 on your phone now. We'll bring you on air for your question or comment. If you're in the chat rooms, feel free to type your question or comment, and I will read it for you on air if you do not want to join us in the call query. But feel free to press the number 1. On your phone right now to get into our discussion. And of course, I'm jumping over here to see if we have any comments coming on all of the different venues we have open this evening. A lot of people are sharing the quotes. Everybody who is around you may not be for you. They are loving that quote that you said earlier, Anne. And again, ladies and gentlemen, tonight belongs to you. So feel free to jump in when the Spirit guides you to do so. So I'm going to turn it back over to Sister Anne for some more. I see so many of you in the call query. So if you want to get involved at any time, press the number 1. And I'll be sure to bring you on air. So we're going to keep moving. And
okay.
I'm turning it back over to you, my sister.
Yeah, you know, when you talked about, you know, with your marriage, you know, what some people know and some people don't know, but, you know, when God gave me the vision for this book, you know, I got all excited about it. You know, I was like, oh, man, you know, because I've always known I was going to write from since, like, 8 years old. And so I was like, yeah, I got all excited. Yeah, I'm going to write a book. And it's about, you know, going into the cocoon and, you know, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I you know, mm-hmm. I was excited right about nothing because at that point I wasn't even close to the process that I call myself about to write about. And so,
right.
Interestingly enough, I did start writing, and then about 2 months into my writing, about 2 months or so, my ex-husband now, but at that time my husband of almost 15 years, you know, asked for a divorce. And it wasn't the first time, because he actually had been overseas for 7 years, and that's a whole nother story in itself. But so he was overseas, mm-hmm. and he requested a divorce. And because it wasn't the first time, I didn't really take it totally serious. I was like, okay, you know, there he is kind of tripping again. And I called myself continue writing. But mm-hmm. this time he was for real, because when he asked for the divorce, as he did before, each time he asked me, I said no. And the reason why I said no, and ladies, if you have the book, those of you who read it, you know what I'm getting ready to talk about, is I believe in covenant marriage. I mean, it's not contract marriage. It's covenant. When we enter into marriage, it's a covenant. It's between us, our spouse, and God. And so with that being said, you need to go in with that mindset. So that way, first of all, you're led by God to go into marriage. And then, God forbid, if there's a reason you need to get out, like habitual, you know, abuse, or somebody who's a habitual adulterer or whatever, that you are led by God to get out. So you want to be led by God in all, because if you're in covenant with him, God's not going to, he's not going to just leave you hanging dry. He's going to lead you every step of the way, but you have to be surrendered. You have to be surrendered to desire his will, not your own, because let me tell you, in my own flesh, there were, you know, before he even asked me, in my flesh, I would have said goodbye to that marriage a long time ago, because don't get it twisted, you know. I was ready, but I'm also a woman of God. I want to please God, and so I stuck around for a very long time, because I have seen marriages. See, Maria, I have seen marriages that the people hate each other, and then they both turn mm-hmm. to the Lord, and they can't get enough of each other, right? And so, you know, I know what my God can do. So, I mean, I stayed and I prayed, because I know that if two hearts are surrendered to God, there is nothing he can't do. But ladies, understand, everybody has free will. So, you know, you need to be aware of that. It doesn't matter how much you pray, God's not going to just take your spouse or whoever and make him do right. That person has to be willing. He has to be surrendered. He has to desire to please God, and only then will that marriage or relationship be able to turn around. And you can't make anybody become something they're not. So the bottom right. line is, I was praying and praying and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, again, desiring to please God, believed in covenant marriage, but he was serious. He really wanted out. So before he actually served me, he started just kind of making life kind of uncomfortable. Let me just say it like that, because I'm not trying to slam anybody. We have a good relationship today. You know, it is what it is. But he started doing some things that, man, I started losing my hair. I mean, there was one night I was in the kitchen, in the bathroom, you know, combing my hair, and I looked down on the floor, and a lot of my hair was on the floor. And I'm like, you know, you kind of want to go into a place of denial, you mm-hmm. know, so I'm going, man, am I losing my hair like that? And so I went and got a picture from a couple of months earlier, and I held it up, and sure enough, I was losing my hair. Now, I was a praying woman, so I wasn't losing my hair because I wasn't praying. But listen, we're physical beings, and so when we've got all that kind of stress and stuff on us, you know, that's why people lose weight, gain weight, because your body does what your body does. So I was praying, but my body was like, man, you stressing. And I started losing my hair. All of a sudden, things just started getting dark for me. And then the Holy Spirit said, you're in your cocoon. And right. With that being said, you know what I had to do? I had to put the pen down, because how can I write about a place I hadn't been?
Yes.
So, you know, God gave me the foresight. He gave me, I believe, out of his love for me. He prepared me ahead of time, gave me the whole concept of it. I started writing, but when it was time for me to go in, because he told me about it ahead of time, sis, I was able to surrender, because I was getting ready to write about some place I hadn't been yet, a process I hadn't been through. So I had to stop writing for about, it was like 6-7 months, something like that, and work the process. You know, a lot of us want to be used by God. A lot of us want God to, you know, expand our territory, or we want a certain type of husband, a godly man. We want all these things, but are we allowing God to prepare us to be worthy of the things that we want? Can he trust us? You know, are we healed inside and out? You know, are we surrendered? You know, we want these things. A lot of us want husbands that are this and that. Well, are we the wives that are deserving of that type of husband? We got to ask ourselves these questions. So, and it's a process, ladies. You know, everybody wants the crown, but we don't want the cross. Well, you know, I heard a gentleman say the other day, the reason we're told to pick up our cross is because we have to be daily dying to ourselves. It's a dying process. And that's literally what the caterpillar does. He goes in and he dies so that the butterfly can live. There's a butterfly in each of us, but the caterpillar's got to die.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, oh my gosh, we have comments on top of comments, on top of comments in the Facebook chat room. Oh, my goodness. Penny, I can say this. You need to call in and press the number one. Let's see here. Where do we begin? Well, it seems like it started off in the roll call section. Hello. We'll just say hello to some of you in here: Indianapolis, Indiana, Colorado, Cleveland, Columbia, South Carolina, Glen Burnie, Maryland, Randallstown, never mind, that's me, Washington, D.C. Hello, hello. Thank you for being here. I'm going to start reading some of the comments. Penny writes, so been there when nothing is left but God. Not an easy place, but a good place to be blessed. And that is so true. Maple Heights, Ohio. Hello, hello. Penny, that cocoon can be a scary and lonely place. But once you emerge, it is so amazing how much more your faith has grown. And I'm just going down the list a little bit, ladies. Our number is 646-478-4726. If you'd like to join us online, feel free to do so. Hello from Spring Hill, Florida. Thank you so much for joining us here this evening. Dethroning right now, Charmaine, it's necessary, though, in order to emerge and move to higher places. So blessed to have a mentor to keep me on track and who speaks the truth by loving my life. Thank you, Anne, for your overwhelming fruit. You are such a true example. And man's rejection is God's protection. Wow, words of wisdom. Penny also writes, she is a survivor of 2 abusive marriages. So she can so relate. And keep them coming, ladies and gentlemen. If there's any gentlemen on the line, feel free to chime in as well, because we'd love to hear what you have to say as well. And Victoria writes, she was just talking to her sister today and telling her that she's going to have to opt out from a lot of places, people, and things in order to prune herself for the purpose that God has placed her here for. Before, she was staying away due to a brief state of depression, and now she's staying away so that she can be pruned into the woman walking in the purpose in which God has placed her here to achieve. So again, exactly. This is what tonight is all about. And we do have a caller on the line. Last four, 3817. Caller 3817. Welcome to Healing Through Hurt. You're here with Ann Thomas and me.
Hi. Hey, Ann. It's Kashonda. How you doing?
Well, hey, Kashonda. I'm good, sweet. How are you? See, Maria, I love this sister. Never met her either. We met through Facebook. I'll let her tell the story. Yeah, I tell you, I love this woman. She got a super duper testimony. Let me just tell you.
Amen.
Well, when I met Ann, I was really at a really vulnerable state in my life, and I thought I was worshiping God, and then I questioned her one day. I kept reading her Facebook page, and I was like, you know, I want to ask this lady some questions about God because I'm not sure if I am following religion or if I'm acquiring a relationship with my father. So finally, she did message me back immediately, and we spoke about the different things that just were not right in my life. And she said, Kashonda, I want you to read my book. And I immediately ordered it, and I did read it. And I wanted to just comment, Anne, about the husband part. You know, I too came from, I mean, it took me 15 years to just finally allow God to say, okay, you can move from this place, because I was determined to make it work. I was going to fix him. And then it wasn't until reading The Consecrated Cocoon, and I actually said, okay, this is what's going on in my life, because I was like in a paradigm shift. I lost just about everything, even my life, trying to force something to fit that just was never meant to be. Mm-hmm. And I remember calling in on the night I decided that I was going to take my life. And I don't know if her phone actually rung the night I pulled my car out in front of an 18-wheeler truck and actually got hit, and they thought
Maria,
I was not going to make it.
Kashonda,
yes,
Shonda,
uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I got to see Maria, listen to what she is saying to you. This woman pulled her vehicle out in front of a semi-trailer that hit her. She was supposed to be dead. I'd never met her, but her sister called me, and I was going to jump on a plane, but only because of where they had her situated, I couldn't go see her. But when you want to talk about somebody who the enemy tries to take out because he knows what's on your life, and you agree with him, and you do something, but God steps in like that, let me tell you, woman here, that's all I got to say. I'm done. Okay.
That's right.
And I just want everybody to know that it is possible to not only come out on the other side, and I give God all the glory and the honor and the praise for my life, but I also want everyone to know that I came out of the cocoon, and I thought I was strong, and I was like, yes, and I'm gonna just let God work on my husband and then allow him to work on me. So I did stay for some time afterwards. And then finally, I do what I call my debriefing time with Ann every so often. And I have to unload on her everything that's going on in my life. And I hadn't spoken to her for a while. And then finally I called, Facebooked her. And I let her know that after 15 years, God finally released me. And I moved from North Carolina to Georgia. And my husband and I, we are separated. But still, the enemy just didn't let it be that way. I was strong in God and my words were strong, but I walked right back into a whole nother situation. And I was like, Lord, I did the consecrated cocoon. All these things were supposed to have been worked out. But then I was warned by my sister who told me, be careful, because you'll find yourself in a place where the enemy will show you, yeah, you met a new friend and everything is wonderful and it starts off friendly. And before I knew it, I was pretty much picking up the same characteristics in another person that I had just been delivered from. Actually, this person was bringing even worse things in my life than my husband ever had. So I really had to pray, and I was like, Lord, I don't know if I can help this person. See, I'm a person, I got to help everybody, and I got to fix everything, but I don't never think about helping and fixing me or allowing God to help or send people to help and work on me. So it was really hard for me in the beginning to accept, no, my job is not to fix people. That's God's job. I plant the seed and allow him to water and then let go and let God. So it was really, really hard for me in the beginning to just do just that simple task.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that's where what I said earlier, that cocoon, that fixing, that transformation, that's your space. That's your time. That's for God to work on you. But you were still bringing that other person in, trying to transform and fix them too. Let's get fixed.
Right.
Come on into my cocoon, and you can be transformed too. The cocoon is built for one. It's not built for everyone. It's built for one. And when you discovered that, or when we discover that, that then and only then are we ready to let go. And when you pulled out in front of that 18-wheeler, God knew. See, you did it your way.
Mm-hmm.
And your way wasn't the way that he had for you. So when God wrapped you in that cocoon and kept you safe from death's door,
Jesus,
he was telling you. See, God doesn't just come right out. He's not going to come out and knock on the door. God here, let me tell you this, doesn't work that way. God gives us something called good God-given sense, free will, and he gives us that chance to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
He gives us that chance, but so many of us, we want to do things our way because in our left ear, we hear the whispers of God, but in our right ear, we hear our own dribble and talk. And the bottom line is, we're listening to what we hear the loudest, which is our own words. So we are determined to do things our way. And when we do things our way, we remain a caterpillar. We remain crawling on the ground. We never have that chance to climb up that tree, connect ourselves to that limb, and go into our cocoon until we are ready to give in to God's will. Then and only then will he begin to wrap us in our consecration, in our cocoon that's meant for us to transform. We need to stop worrying about fixing everyone else. We need to stop even worrying about, for me, okay, I tried to rationalize some things, but in the end, no, it was time for me to move on. But it wasn't until I stopped being that infamous powerhouse of a person that everyone used to come to help fix their problems that I realized that I wasn't in a cocoon. I was getting ready to be in a casket.
Right.
Wrong C.
Right.
Wrong C. So I had to decide. It became a do or die. So when I gave in, and even now, I'm still emerging. I only have one wing out of my cocoon, so I still do have a long way to go. Because you see, I was left with nothing but faith, forgiveness, and 4 cents. 1, 2, 3, 4 beautiful brown pennies. He tore up everything because if he couldn't have half, I would have none. So that's a story for another day, but yeah. But now you're emerging as that butterfly. And it's not, as you know, it takes a while for that caterpillar to transform. So it's not going to happen overnight.
No,
it's not going
to
happen when people think, okay, it's going to change. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be brand new. It doesn't work that way. It's called transformation. For a reason.
Right. And I decided, you know, this is not working fast enough for me. Things aren't changing fast enough for me. And I allowed the enemy to tell me so many things that were not true, that I wasn't worth it. I couldn't do it. And on that night, I just remember hitting the gas and that truck coming into my door. I saw it. But like I told Ann, I remembered that night as the truck impacted my car. Angels jumping in between my car and that truck, and I laid in a in a coma. And when I woke up, I didn't have not one broken bone. I had some scratching and a little bit of swelling, but I went home.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, "Wow!" You know, even the doctors, they were like, "Ma'am, you should have been gone." And I said, "No, I knew that night." When I did what I did to myself, God spoke to me and said, no, not yet. It is not your time.
Jesus.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Oh, Kashonda, I just want to say I'm very proud of you for the step that you've taken. It is still a process, but, you know, a lot of times we say that we're waiting on God, and a lot of times he's waiting on us.
That's
you know,
right. And see, I couldn't understand that part because I was thinking, you know, Lord, okay, I'm doing what you're saying, but ain't nothing changing. And I didn't think, well, okay, yeah, you waiting on me, but I'm waiting on you.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are things that he empowers us to do that, you know, sometimes we drag our feet on it. We come up with excuses because, again, you know, true change requires stepping out of a comfort zone. And especially if it's a zone we've been in for many, many years where our self-worth and you know, even our purpose and all that stuff, we think it's wrapped up in that situation when God has to pull us out of that situation to then birth in and through us what he needs to birth.
Right.
Yeah.
And I had been saying for years, oh, no, I walk by faith and not by sight. But no, I really hadn't. I was just quoting a scripture that I had heard and read over and over again. But when I went ahead and I prayed about it and God opened that door for me, when I stepped out of North Carolina into Georgia, I didn't even know where I was going. I didn't have but enough gas to make it to this state. I didn't have nowhere to stay, no job, no nothing. But before the week was over, I had a place to stay. I had a state employee job. God just really just changed so many things about me and my life during that time. And he did it within
a week.
Why?
Because you took – faith is an action word. It's an active word. So that step that you took was a faith step. See, again, you know, sometimes we're going, God, get me out. God said, no, take a step of faith, which means you don't know – you may not know where you're going. You may not know how you're going to get there, but you know who's getting you there, and you know who's going to meet you there, and that's what God is asking us to do many times, is take a step of faith.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's really hard because you're looking at what you have, and then I have small children, and I was like, Lord, this can't be right. This can't be you telling me to do this because it doesn't make any sense. But it was. And I thank God that I just was not hard-headed and I stood in obedience and I did what he told me to do.
Amen. Yes. And ladies, we have a ton of comments over here in the Facebook chat room. I'm going to read as many as I can. In our Let's Chat session that Sister Marcella Moore set up for me, thank you so much, because this is a huge help to have one place that I can go to find all of your comments. Charmaine Wheat says, amen, that's knowledge. Thank you, Lord. Penny writes, I'm in my cocoon for the fifth year in a row. Ha, ha, ha. Penny also writes, she's a survivor of two abusive marriages, never thinking she would ever be there two times, but God has used those experiences for her to share and give hope to other women in those types of relationships. What the enemy meant to destroy, God is using as her testimony.
Amen.
I'm blessed that I can say I have been there. That is using evil for good.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely correct. We're going to keep going because Penny makes another point down here, because I know that some of you are probably asking the same question that she's about to ask. Yes, ma'am, you got it. To the author, look at God. To Penny, look at God, oh my. Charmaine also writes, I thank God for this reading. I'm now understanding where I've been and where God is taking me. Mm-hmm. Penny writes, I will have to check it out, Charmaine Wheat. Thank you, and God bless you. Penny writes, I so love this book Ann Thomas has written. I have a huge library and love books. And after she sent this book to me in one of the lowest points in my life, it has forever changed me. She speaks the truth and the life to you. Has everyone read her book? And again, Penny goes on to say, my question, how many times must we go into this cocoon? I feel like God is taking me back to the cocoon every single year. And I'm like, really, God, again? How much more of a butterfly can I become? Laughing, but not, LOL. Oh, good. I have a comment for that in a minute. Charmaine writes, during her 10-year marriage and abusive relationship, God protected her mind to keep her and focus on his power by faith that life would change. I hid, ran, and he always followed. But I wonder, that a cocoon? Because it didn't feel like one. I was almost numb with no real feelings. Family or friends that I felt I could confide in without causing more trouble in a relationship. But I thank God that I'm out of that relationship, although I'm not happy about how I found my way out. I was angry and gave up on God in the 10th year and joined the military to get away so that he couldn't follow me anymore. Well, I hadn't really thought about it that way until tonight. So I guess the military was a place of visible protection, but God's cocoon in my life.
Mm.
And there's more comments. I'll try to get to them, but the question, I'll just go around to you ladies and I'll bring up the rear, but to Penny's question, how many times must she go into this cocoon? So, Sister Ann,
yes.
You can start here. And
caller
6034 will bring you on the air as soon as we answer Penny's question.
Yeah, I have two answers for that because, again, the cocoon serves two purposes. It serves, number one, a place of pruning and purging, and number two, a place of preparation. So when we find ourselves in a cocoon, it's for one of two reasons. Either he is preparing us because he's moving us to the next level, or there is some he's trying to have us soar like a butterfly, but we are still in caterpillar thinking. We're still in caterpillar mode, and so he's got to pull us in and do some pruning and some purging. Now, I'm just going to say this, you know, up front. I mean, this main, you know, I'm not going to try and hit on any specifics with Penny because, I mean, I know her. I know her story, but understand, ladies, that in that time of intimacy, there is a humility that's required in there. Like when I say that we're in full surrender mode, it means full surrender mode. So what we're doing is we're literally saying what the psalmist says is, Father, examine my heart and point out anything in me that does not please you. And if you... I would want to say self. If you launch yourself from that cocoon before God is done doing what he needs to do in you, whether you realize you did it or not, you know, something else came along and you thought, oh, I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to get into this relationship again. I'm ready to start this new job. I'm ready to move. If you do things prematurely, if you do not, it's like surgery. You know, nobody, surgery doesn't feel good, and even after the surgery, you still got the healing pain and all of that. But, you know, when you lay on the table, and if for any reason you feel the pain, you can't just jump up and say, hey, I'm done with this. And a lot of us do that. You know, we end up in this place where, yes, it's isolating, yes, it's not comfortable, but God will meet us there if we're willing to meet him there, humble ourselves, and let him remove everything in us that needs to come out. So if there are times that we're in that place and we get up and we leave out of there prematurely, God will allow, until we pass that test, we're going to be back in there again and again and again and again. Now, I can't tell Penny or anybody else what your test is, but it may be a test of forgiveness. It may be a test of knocking down that pride, that self-sufficiency, because some of us, we grow up becoming very self-sufficient because of lack of, you know, our parents weren't there for us, but you know what that does? It transfers onto our relationship with God. You know, you say, oh, I had to fend for myself. I had to take care of me. Now, the problem comes in is that you won't allow God to take care of you now. Now you do want your superwoman. You want to do everything for yourself. God's not going to allow anything, not even yourself, to become a God to you. So if there are any idols, if there are any dependencies, if there's any unforgiveness, if there's anything that God needs to pull out of you, you're going to find yourself back in there again and again until we kind of get it right. And again, it's not a place of punishment, but it is a place of pruning and purging and preparation. If there's any active sin in your life, ladies, I'm just going to say, if you are single and you are having sex with a man and he's not your husband, that's fornication. You know, so if we're not striving, and I'm not saying you do it perfectly, you may fall off the wagon, but if you're doing it all the time, that's not a falling off the wagon. That's an act of your will. So I'm saying if we're not doing these kind of things, just because, you know, lightning doesn't come down and strike us doesn't mean that God is pleased with it. And so if we find ourselves kind of going through the same hurts, the same tests, the same cocoon, it might be because of stuff that we think God's turned a blind eye to, but he really hasn't, and he's got to allow us to keep coming back to this place until he's able to get out of us the purity, the holiness, the set apartness that he's looking from us.
Mm-hmm. To a caller? Hold on. And to our other caller, I forgot her name. 3817. Is she still with us? Okay. We'll come
yes,
back.
I'm here.
Caller. Are you here?
I'm here.
Oh, did you want to add anything for Penny's question before I pull up the rear, so to speak?
No, I just want to tell her to just hang in there.
and just allow God to just complete a work in him. I mean, we're going to be worked on every day because we're never going to ever make it.
Right.
But we just keep striving forward and ask for forgiveness and just do the best you can to just hold on and don't allow the enemy to fool you with his treachery in his lies.
Amen.
Right. Right. And to Penny, I'd like to add, because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the way that you wrote your question with the all caps and things like that. And one part that Penny wrote in all caps, she said, "Really, God, again, with multiple question marks." And my response to you is this, that repetition is the best teacher. So God is going to keep putting you back in that cocoon until you learn the lesson that you need to transform properly.
Amen.
So until you get it, he's going to keep putting you back into that cocoon until he knows that you are ready to transform into the butterfly that he knows you are meant to be. So.
Amen. And see, Maria, I want to say to some people that might sound punitive, but we have to understand God has created each of us for an amazing and mighty purpose in life. And so in doing so, he knows our full potential. And if any of us are living beneath that potential, God loves us so much, he is not going to leave us there. You know, there's a saying that says he'll meet you where you are, but he won't leave you where you are. That's the God we serve. We may come to him a mess, but he's not going to coddle us in our mess. You know, so and he does it out of love. It's not punitive. It's that he looks at you and says, "My daughter, I love you way too much to see you allow yourself to be in a situation that is far beneath my purpose for you. I love you too much." And guess what? And Penny knows this. I know her. This is a mighty warrior of God. When I tell you she's mighty, there's a testimony on her life, and there are lives that she's touching. You think the devil don't want her to step into the fullness of what God has for her. And so that's why he's constantly coming at her. But what she needs to do is keep her faith needs to be in God, not on what her eyes see. And you know, and I'll share this later, but, you know, our words and the power of our words that we put out in the atmosphere, all that kind of stuff has a lot to do with us letting God know whether we're ready to go to the next level or not.
Right. And call us 6034. We are ready for you now. If you press the 1 on your phone, we can bring you on air. I noticed that you disappeared from the query, but caller 6034, if you have, there you are. Okay. Welcome, caller.
Hello.
Hold on a moment. Caller 6034, welcome, welcome.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, this is comedian Miss Woody.
Hey. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Things are slowly coming together, but they're coming together. Oh, I am so happy I got the opportunity to listen tonight. Oh, I tell you, if I can tell you how many relationships I've had, and put it like this, I have 9 children, and I've had many bad relationships after relationships after relationships. And I've actually been by myself. I got a 4-year-old. So hold on a second. Hold on. And I had to actually step out of relationships for several years now, and things are turning around. But the devil is still at me. But I keep fighting him back. And I tell him about my faith, and he's going on by his way until we come back again. So I clearly understand. Marie can tell you a lot about me, and I've been a guest on the show before, and I know my purpose is right there. I'm right at the door. Right at the door.
And in your case, you know what it is. Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. I tell you that all the time. Stick to the plan.
Right. And I'm getting ready to have my documentary seen at a film festival here in St. Louis. And I'm so thankful that I finally got there after 12 years. And I'm excited.
Let your silence be heard.
Excited.
Bring the noise, sis. Yes. Bring the noise.
I'm ready. I am so ready. I'm so excited. But I'm just thankful that I had the opportunity to listen. I've been so busy with my projects and telling my story and helping others through my stories. And when I'm invited as a guest again, I get a chance to tell you some of the hardship that I had in relationships. It'll definitely make you say, wow.
Yes. I believe that going to be a third part to this particular show, so Sister Ann might as well get out her calendar right now, so we'll decide when we're going to come back, because as always, this show has taken on a life of its own, and it's evident that we need to continue this conversation, because to all of the ladies on the line, and gentlemen, if you're listening, some of the greatest power is in your story. And when you are able to tell it, you will become a beacon of light to someone else. Because there's people out there that don't need to hear my story because they can't relate to what I went through. The end is the same. We all may have been abused, but the means are different. So your story may be just what someone out there sitting alone in the darkness needs to hear. Because your story will be their guide back into the light. Caller 2746, I'll be bringing you on the line in one moment. Comedian Miss Woody, thank you so much, my dear, for joining us here this evening. I know your little one needs your attention, but sit tight. Thank you so much for being here. And as always, you know I keep you in my prayers, sis.
I know, because we have a similar story to tell.
Yes,
I'm listening.
Yes. Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome.
Caller 2746. Caller 2746. Welcome to the show. Caller 2746, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can
hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, I had muted my phone so you didn't get any of my background, and I was just talking away and didn't realize I was on mute. I'm sorry. But I'm here by chance. I mean, I was invited literally a few moments ago by Tina Hobson, and it just, you know, I needed this. I needed to hear all of this, and I definitely relate to, I haven't been here since the beginning of the conversation, but, you know, I came right in at the point where, you know, you've been hurt so much, you're so busy fixing other people, and you become superwoman because you don't need no help.
Right.
And I've been having a rough year or two, and just trying to find some peace in who I am. You know, mm-hmm. I've watched everybody around me heal. I've watched everybody around me come into their own. And, you know, I've sacrificed everything that I thought I was supposed to have in order to be a staple for them. And just listening to this phone call, I've neglected myself. I've always made sure that I kept a rock solid, at least in my thought, a rock solid relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I also realized through listening to this call, I myself get in his way, because instead of waiting, well, you know, what she really needs is me to help her do this now. So why don't I just go do this? And I guess when you replay that in your head, you hear, you know, God, he's so busy. I got this, because, you know, I'm as mighty as he is. So why don't I just handle this?
Mm-hmm.
I just got on this call on a last-minute invite, and I'm full of tears because some people don't even know they have a story and have a story. And trust me, the abusive relationship that I lived through, and I literally say lived through because it took him to put a 357 Magnum in my mouth and pull a trigger and then jam before I said, oh, well, you know, maybe I should go now. You know, maybe this is the time to exit. Why it took me to get to that place, I don't know. But right now, I just want to say how thankful I am to be able to have set in on this. I'm so thankful that Tina thought enough of me to include me in this because I heard you say you got some more dates coming up. My name is Nikki Dixon on Facebook. I put it, I'm going. I want to know all about all of them because I want to be sitting right here on every single call.
Thank you,
everyone.
So much. Sister Tina. Sister Tina will keep you well informed. She is here. Usually, unless she has another function, we do try to support one another. Matter of fact, she's over there now in both of the chat rooms. She and Sister Marcella are helping me monitor the rooms and keep some control there. But I tell you, you know, I'm so glad that you called in too, because that's what this is about. Until we are to that point where we can share. Plus, this is a part of the healing process, because when we keep all of this inside, we
That's
tend
right.
to continue to replay those issues over and over again. And I know what it's like to continue to replay, and every time we do, we come up with another reason to blame ourselves for everything.
Yeah,
and we need to
absolutely.
Stop. And I know what it's like when I know that you're brand new and welcome to Healing Through Hurt, but I always tell people that I was what they call, some people say the go-to person. I say I was the come-to person. Everyone would come to me to listen, to help fix their problems, to give them financial
yep.
advice, to do this. When I was crying in silence, nobody heard me. Nobody.
Absolutely. And it's still like, it's okay, because I can stand on my own, and I'm learning. I can't. I mean, I know with God all things are possible. I understand that, but I think I do people an injustice at this point in my life, because how is it that I can fix you so well, and I get all these wonderful thank yous for what an important person I've been in such and such life, but that crying and solace thing has overwhelmed me, because I don't even know.
Well, let me stop you for a moment. The first thing that you said is that you can stand alone, and I'm here to tell you, no, you can't.
Come on.
Guess what? You are in the company of your crutches now, because this is my show. I'm a CEO of a company, been there, done that, been to the mountaintop, lived in a million-dollar house, been left with nothing but 4 cents. I now live in one of my rental townhomes, but I used to have the million-dollar house. Loved it, my dream house. I know what it's like to lose everything. I know what it's like to be alone. I also know what it's like when me, this wonderful powerhouse, needed to learn how to humble herself. I
told
Sister Ann in private to tell her certain things to get so that she can help me get clarity. Sister Marcella, Sister Tina have called me, told me to shut up, and they did nothing but pray for me, because they, in their spirits, knew that my spirit was in turmoil. We don't do anything alone at any time. You do not stand alone, because as long as you stand alone,
That's
you
right.
have nobody to get advice from. You have nobody to get encouragement from. You have nobody to get healing advice, nothing. You have no
yeah.
one to walk the journey with but yourself.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
first thing you need to realize is that you cannot do it by yourself. Here's the virtual tissue, because right now, my sister, I'm drying your tears.
Yes.
I'm drying your tears. I'm giving you that virtual hug. I don't know what state you're in. You better not be in Maryland because we're going to set up a time to have lunch, and I'm going to give you a real hug. Guess what?
I'm in Ohio with Tina.
Tina, you need to get together with her and give her a hug on behalf of all of us here tonight.
Amen.
That's what needs to happen. You do not stand alone. The minute that you realize that, guess what? Here comes your cocoon. That's when your cocoon shows up. But until you realize that you cannot fix the past, whether you were a part of the problem or whether you were not a problem, has no bearings on the here and now. What was, and what will be starts from this point forward. So you need to understand that you are not alone. 202-618-2556, call me. Anytime you need someone to listen to, that's the number. I'm right here on Facebook, C. Maria Wall. I'm on Sister Tina's site. I'm everywhere.
I just sent you a friend request just this moment. I'm all ahead of you.
I'm sorry.
You got me over here thinking and thinking, and I'm so far ahead of you. Check Facebook. I already sent you a friend request. Girl, you... You done?
You know, I'm so sorry. This was supposed to be all about my dear sister Ann, but she knows.
I'm sorry, Ann.
No, we already we got another show coming, so I'm just chilling and taking it all in because you know how God works. This is His show.
But I tell you, my sister, I just accepted your friend request, so we good.
Okay.
Anytime you need me, we are here.
I just feel so overwhelmed. And I already requested her. She done took it already. I'm all the way out there.
I'm ahead of you.
I'm all the way out there. She didn't accept mine. You late. You was like 3 minutes after her. I got y'all both.
Well, you got to understand. I'm manning chat rooms and calls.
Right.
I'm going to be still and let God do his thing. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Amen.
But I tell you right now, if this show has lightened your burden just a little bit, then Sister Ann and my job is well done.
That's right.
Because now
Amen.
You know you came on as a stranger. You're leaving us as our friend.
Amen. Come on.
So let me tell all of you, Ann Thomas, C. Maria Wall, if you are on Facebook, if you're not on Facebook, find us. You can,
right.
If you
Amen.
Google me, you're going to find all of my groups. I have several support groups. We're 400 plus strong on my relationship recovery group on Google Plus. That's one of my coaching groups. We're 100 plus strong on my Women of Wisdom and Work on Meetup. And Lord knows how many people I have on Facebook. But there is a way to find what you need. And there's nothing better than being in the company of people who don't understand what you're saying because they learned it in a textbook. They learned it by experience. There's a difference when you are walking with someone where you can share shoes. When you can do that, then the journey just got a lot easier. So my sister, I say to you tonight, you are now my friend. You are my sister. Whenever you need us, me, whomever, you're not alone. You are not alone. To all of the guests, friend us, find us,
Amen.
Call us, write to us. If you need prayer, Sister Marcella Moore, if you don't know her, get to know her too. Some of
Amen.
You already know Sister Tina Hobson in her I Am a Superwoman radio show. I watched her show. This is her cocoon. Her new blog talk show is her cocoon.
Mm.
She has transformed from where she started to where she is now. Sister Marcella, we spoke at length earlier today. She is transforming. She is about to emerge from her cocoon.
Amen.
Everyone, this is a cocoon tonight. This is our cocoon tonight. we are about to emerge as brand new butterflies. Here I am thinking that I had it all together, minus my one wing, and lo and behold, well, here comes a brand new cocoon all over again. So you want to ask, Sister Penny, you said how many cocoons?
As many as it takes.
I'm not in a brand new cocoon tonight. Amen.
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 Oh, my goodness. We're running out of time already, but I tell you all, we have 29 minutes left. But lo and behold, did I not say, for those of you who are watching the promos for this, it's going to be anointed. It is going to be an anointed program.
Thank you.
And like I said, I was under the weather. But once that adrenaline kicks in, I tell you, the Holy Spirit comes up in here.
The anointing.
Honey, hush.
How about time flying?
I tell you, time will fly when you're doing God's work.
Come on.
I tell you, we're going to have something special coming up. I'm going to bring on all the powerhouses. We're going to have a good time. Sister Tina, we need to talk because we need to do a dual show. We're going to get this together. We're going to have, and who else is on Blog Talk, we're going to keep it going. 2-3 other shows back to back. It's time for another Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement. Hallelujah. Part 2. Here we come.
Jesus.
I tell you. I'm going to turn it back over to Sister Ann now. My bad.
I've been looking. I said, okay, all right, Lord. So what do you want me to wrap up? I'm going to say this session, because you know we're going to get back together, because this just ain't – the 2 hours just came and went. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, look at the time. So here's what I'm going to share to close us out, and I looked for something that wasn't too long. But on page 196, I want to speak or read just a little bit about, it's titled Battlefield of the Mind. And, I won't even bother get on my preaching box about that one, but you all understand, you know, pretty much, you know, what we nurse and rehearse, you know, we pretty much produce it. So page 196, Battlefield of the Mind. It says, prayerfully from our previous section, come into a deeper understanding of just how powerful your words are. So the section before this, I actually talk about the power of words, and maybe I'll get a chance to share that at another time. And when released into the atmosphere, our words have either a positive or a negative impact. Therefore, we must choose our words wisely. But even more powerful than our words is the place where our words originate, and that's in our heart. Our words are simply an outward indicator of the inward condition of our heart. Matthew 12:34b says, "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." This scripture is not referring to your physical heart that pumps blood throughout your body. It refers to your spiritual heart, the place where your thoughts, feelings, and decisions reside. Your heart is the command center for your mind, will, and emotions. What you think, you believe. What you believe, you say. What you say, you do. It really trips me out when I hear people say things like, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that." Chances are they absolutely did. Or they say, "Sorry, that just slipped out." Yeah, doubt it. Your lips do not release words that haven't been sanctioned by your mind. So get that. Your lips do not release words that haven't been sanctioned by your mind. It's not possible to say something that you didn't already think about. Now, I will agree that there are some people who have mastered the art of impulsiveness or even insensitivity by saying the first thing that pops into their mind without consideration of consideration for others. But that's not because of an inability to control their words. It's about an unwillingness to consider more than just their own feelings. Can we be honest about that? Let's face it, we're all capable of and are guilty of what I like to call stinking thinking. Stinking thinking are those thoughts that we have that are not pleasing to God, thoughts that are critical, lustful, manipulative, condemning, envious, hopeless. This type of thinking extends an open invitation for Satan to lure us into sinful behavior. Remember, we're daughters of Adam and Eve, which means we all have the tendency toward thoughts that do not please God. Don't think for one second that the first time Eve noticed the fruit was when the snake brought it up. She already eyeballed the fruit and thought about the power that she could gain if she were to eat it. The enemy simply took advantage of an opportunity that was already there. When our adversary tempts us towards sin, God promises a way of escape in 1 Corinthians 10:13, because he says there's no temptation that man could ever face that God has not already provided a way out. However, we must want to turn away from the temptation and not surrender to the strong emotions and desires. We all struggle with unhealthy thoughts, but it's not what we do with them that matters. But it's what we do with the thoughts that matters. Jesus was tempted on every front, but we know he did not sin. The fact that no temptation can come our way that is new or different from what Jesus experienced means that we can overcome it as well. The mind is a very secretive and private place. That's both a positive and negative. The positive side of the privacy is our ability to keep some thoughts strictly between us and God. Like everyone else, I have moments when I'm not proud of my thoughts and realize that my need for God's help to change them. During these times, without embarrassing exposure, I'm able to repent before God and submit my thoughts to him. My surrender and cooperation with God's power changes my thoughts to what pleases him. The not-so-positive side of private thoughts is our unwillingness to submit them to God. We know we're in a bad place, yet we refuse to invite God into our thought process. And therefore, by default, we give Satan permission to influence our thoughts. And when he does, he comes with the big guns. He comes in with a plan that is designed to take us down. He uses our thoughts against us and attacks areas of vulnerability and emotional instability. He belittles our self-worth. He raises doubts, introduces scenarios of fear, highlights our inadequacies, feeds feelings of entitlement, encourages a victim mindset, conjures up confusion, fans the flame of worry, promotes division, and ultimately tries to steal your purpose and your destiny. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He goes before God day and night, night and day, pointing out our mess ups. He has nothing better to do. And when he gets tired of being ignored by God, he comes at you directly through your thoughts and accuses you by way of condemnation. He reminds you of each time you blew it. He says you're beyond God's forgiveness and have exhausted God's grace. He wages war, and in every war there are casualties and captives. In the war of your mind, you can avoid casualties by taking your thoughts captive. That's what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, that you have the authority and power to do just that. You can grab a hold of your thoughts and force them to submit to the knowledge and truth of God's word. When you find that your thoughts are out of control, be a spiritual cowgirl and lasso them right back in. Tell those thoughts that they do not rule you. Inform them that they are ruled by God Almighty. Under God's authority and by his supernatural power, you can change your stinking thinking to thoughts that please God. What pleases God? Things that are true, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise, as it says in Philippians 4:8. And I wanted to end with that because the battlefield truly is in our mind. The word says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Well, as a woman thinks, so is she. If you think you are less than who God says you are, then that's who you will be. And we need to all know that we were created on purpose, for purpose, and you will only find that purpose in God. So I pray that, you know, God says something to some of you. You really need to just change. When you change your thinking, when you change your perspective, when you change that, your situation may not change, but how you see it will change. And it will empower you to do what God's calling you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, we only have about 19 minutes, so I'm going to read some of the comments over here in the chat room. And as Sister Marcella said, if we did not get a chance to read your question or comment on the air, Sister Ann and or myself will be responding to you after the show ends. And for those of you who came in late, you will be able to hear the show in its entirety. Give it about 2 minutes or so, and you will be able to click on the link in the Facebook events page, and it will bring you to the replay. But Nikki Dixon, our brand new, first-time caller and new sister in the Spirit, writes, God, I hear you speaking, and I thank these beautiful women for letting you use them, and I humbly ask that you continue to supply them with this beautiful spirit of encouragement, love, and fellowship. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Thank you again, Sister Nikki. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Oh, my goodness. And Victoria LaPrince, sweet Victoria LaPrince, she writes, I couldn't wait until Friday. I just downloaded the consecrated cocoon on my Kindle.
Oh, my God, bless you.
I just did it too, Victoria.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I just did it on my Kindle Fire HD.
And Sister Tina Hobson, she's really boosting the Amazon link to the consecrated cocoon. As soon as I'm done reading a few more comments, I'm going to let Ann tell you how to reach her, how to get the book. So many of you are already getting the book. But for those who come back and hear this show, and feel free to pass this show along to all of your friends, family members, and those who you know need to hear this anointed program. And Sister Melanie Inspires Thomas writes, until we pass the test, we will be back in the cocoon again and again. Wow. And that's exactly right. Until we pass the test, we're going to keep going back until we learn the lesson and we are fully prepared for the transformation. And you are in the company of your crutches now. Lean on. See Maria Wall. It's a matter of finding the right crutches. You do not stand alone. Amen. Thank you, Sister Melanie. And that's exactly right. We do not stand alone. So just remember. Ebony Perez writes, faith is an action word. She loves it. And I'm just going down the list to see who else has written some things. But I tell you, while I'm looking through this, Sister Ann, you can share how people can contact you and get a copy of the book and all of that good information.
Amen. First, ladies, wow, what a blessing. Y'all just put a big Kool-Aid smile on my face to know that you went and got that book. Praise God, praise God. That's all I can say is praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I just, you know, that is so awesome. Man, I tell you, I'm so, thank you, Lord Jesus. Ladies, I just pray that it just blesses your socks off, you know, not because I wrote it. The Holy Spirit wrote that, and I've, you know, the testimonies that I hear, I know Ann Thomas can't do anything apart from God. And so it is him who wrote that book. So therefore, I say that to say that whatever you're seeking, you'll find it. He's going to lead you into all truth and healing. So I have a website. It's annthomasministry.com. And the books are available at my website. for no shipping charge, $15. And if you do it through my website, I'm able to personalize it for you. And I love to personalize it because God always gives me a word of knowledge or a scripture. And I always hear back, oh, my gosh, that's what I've been going through or whatever. So God is so faithful to do that. But in addition to the website, you can also get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online, especially for those of you who have the Kindle or the Nook. You can download it that way. Also on my website, I've got, you know, inspirational blog posts and videos you can watch or audio stuff you can listen to. And I would just love it, too, if any of you want to be on my email list. Every now and again I send out encouraging devotionals, or if I'm speaking somewhere, I don't know if anybody's on the line from North Carolina, but I'll be in North Carolina this upcoming weekend doing a women's conference, and I am so blessed and honored to be out there. Never been to Murphy, North Carolina. I don't even know where it is, but I'll be there, so I'll be able to talk about it after. But I'm just grateful to God, and I am so happy to be connected to first and foremost, C. Maria Wall. This woman is a visionary. She is, I won't even say she's a survivor. She is an overcomer. She is a warrior. You know, not only does she have a story and does she tell it, but she encourages others. And the first show that we had together, it was so off the charts. And like she said, I mean, it just was. We laughed, but then out of there came a vision for a Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement. I mean, right on the call. If you would have listened to the call, you would hear it being birthed as we were speaking. And months later, we had a whole weekend full of just this kind of encouragement going all weekend long. And we've been connected. Yes. She connected me with Sister Tina, Sister Marcella. I love those ladies. These are ladies I have never met, but I'm going to tell you what, they all come into Florida. They don't know it. I'm just declaring it. They all come into Florida, and we're going to tear up this town when they get here because, you know, God's put a lot in each of us. And when we all get together, it's going to be off the chain. I already know that. But, yes. Sis, I'm so grateful, you know, for you having me back on the show again. You know, I'll be back the minute you say, come, I am here. You don't even have to finish your because it's clear when we get together, you know, I love it that you keep it real. I keep it real. And, you know, we have such a synergy that I just love. And there are other ladies, too, Sister Tina, Sister Marcella. We're doing kingdom work. That's what it's all about. We are coming together and being empowered, walking in our purpose and our destiny, and allowing God through our own healing to be able to then offer a platform for others to be healed as well. And I'm so honored every time that I connect with you, sis. So I just want to publicly just thank you. You're such a mighty woman of God, and I love you with all of my heart. I really do.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. And you know that I love you and Sister Tina and Sister Marcella to life and infinity and beyond. And I love all of you listening. Whether
yeah.
you realize it or not, you stick it out with us every time we have a show. We are here. You know what? You don't have to say a word. Your sheer presence is a blessing to us. This is how God sends us our validation. He lets us know in the simplest of ways that what we are doing is pleasing to Him. And we get our greatest joy when we know that we're helping someone else. We're serving someone else. It's not about me. It's not about Sister Ann. It's about us coming together to do God's work. It's all about God. And oh my goodness, this has been such an anointed program. Oh my goodness, it's amazing how 2 hours can fly by when you're having this type of energy and synergy and camaraderie and fellowship. It's amazing how fast time goes. And I tell you, I wanted to share one more comment over here. Sister Latoya I hope I'm saying your name correctly. She states, I found myself going through the same hurt because I kept committing fornication. I recently submitted to God's will for my life and had an aha moment. I realized I can't party with the enemy, fornication, and serve God. I had to get real with myself and acknowledge some things about me that I kept trying to sweep under the carpet, but God already knew. Who was I kidding? Myself. Thank God my mind has been renewed, and I'm perfectly content with coming home to my one-bedroom apartment alone in the natural, because I know my spiritual father is always with me. Thank you, Lord. And my sister, you're not coming home alone. You're coming home to the best man you can come home to. He's always there with you. Every time you walk in that door, he's saying, my child, welcome home. I wrapped you in my arms and kept you safe for another day.
He already got her little fluffy, he lays out them little fluffy bedroom shoes.
That's right.
He got rose petals on the bed. I mean, he got it all laid out nice for her.
It's
home. Come on now.
He got the rose petals from the front door. You like chocolate?
Yeah.
Got some of those too. Whether you actually have them, close your eyes and envision it. When you come home, the bath water is run, the candles are lit. And all that is your roadmap. You know what? While you're envisioning it, that's something you can bring into the real. Because guess what? When you start to love and pamper yourself, everything else falls into place.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's how it works. But Lord knows people ask, how can you? What? I'm like, people, think about it. Now, let's all, you know I'm good for keeping it real. Now, any of you all that's not virgins out there, you all know it really don't last that long anyway. So, out of 24 hours, I'm just saying, you can't live without that. You really can. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You get bored, go get the consecrated cocoon and read it. You know what? Take up knitting. Do something. Learn how to cook. Most women nowadays can't cook from scratch. Take up a hobby, but do something. Because Lord knows that, and I'm putting it modestly, that 15 minutes, I'm sure you can find something else to do. I'm just saying.
Yes, you got recycled virgins, man. God can do it. He can restore, renew. Like it never happened before.
That's
just submit yourself to it. And he got keeping power if you trust him. He'll keep you now.
I'm a proud nun. Ain't got none, ain't getting none, and ain't giving up none. So I just want you all.
I'm sorry.
Here we go again.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord, have mercy, help. You covered all the nuns. You definitely did.
Well, I'm a proud nun.
I saw that. That's funny.
Okay.
Wee. Thank you. With us on the chat line.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, ladies. Well, that's how we roll here, healing through her. I mean, we can sugarcoat it if you like, but I don't think so.
No.
No, thank
you. Yeah, ain't happening here.
No. And lo and behold, y'all know it's true. Anyway,
it is.
Get a pad and paper and just write down things you can do for 15 minutes because you get a whole list. Trust me.
Oh, Man, I hope ain't no guys on the line. They not laughing right about me. They like, okay, I was enjoying the show until this minute, right?
Well, until if you are, minutes. You got to step up your game.
Oh, Lord, help us. All right, ladies, we keep it real on the show. It's just this is how we roll.
Gentlemen, though, I love you. But see, this hiccup.
I'm sorry. You for real when you said that? No, I know you were. But it just, I had to laugh behind that. But she does. She loves you. We love you. Absolutely.
Well, I do. Because really,
and,
when you
and,
think about
and you
it,
should be practicing your 15-minute writing doodle pad thing. If you're not married, you need to be spending your 15 minutes a different way. Same thing.
Yep. Use your hand to write down some things to do. How about that?
Okay, I hope all ladies on the line now.
I'm just trying to help the brothers out. I mean, we're writing our 15 minutes. You write yours. But
exactly.
We should be with each other for something other than that anyway.
I agree.
So
I agree.
All jokes aside, yes, this was mm-hmm. hilarious. But the truth is, we should be with each other for something other than that. Let me love
Amen.
You for who you
Amen.
Are. Let me love you for your heart, mind, body, spirit, and soul.
Right.
Because
right.
that 15 minutes is nothing but a grain of sand on a beach compared to a real relationship.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Amen.
We have about 3 minutes left.
Amen. That's just the truth. Some of us are in and out of the cocoon for that 15 minutes. Ladies, you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? That's all I have to
yes.
say.
Yes. You just have to ask yourself,
yep.
you know what? If you need that warm body in your cold bed, I suggest you get an electric blanket or a space heater. It serves the same purpose. You'll get warm. Okay? I'm just saying.
Said it for longer than 15. Anyway.
But we have about 2 minutes left. So before
mm-hmm.
we go, as always, I want to pray each and every one of you enough. I pray you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days. But I
yes.
also pray enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. And I pray
Amen.
You enough smiles, just like what we just had, to turn that frown you've been carrying around upside down.
Amen.
But most of all, I pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever you may be facing this week and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, before I go, as always, I'd like to remind you to continue to pay it and pray it.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have a minute and 57 seconds left, needless to say, everybody over on the Facebook page have been dying laughing. So
yeah, I see it. I was checking it out. Yeah, they've been cracking up with us.
But that's how we do it here. When Sister
Amen.
Ann and I get together. Oh, and by the way, you can always text me at 202-618-2556 to get on our mailing list. Because next year in 2015, we will have our first Women's Summit, Florida, with Sister
Woo!
Ann. So
mm-hmm.
if you'd like to get on that list, 202-618-2556, text me your email address, and I'll be sure to add you to our mailing list.
Just make
that.
Sure you add the number to add it to the event.
Yes. And I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for the Sunday morning inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So until then, my special guest has been Minister Ann Thomas, my sister in the spirit, lover to life and beyond. Thank you so much for all of my sisters from the Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement, Sister Tina Hobson, and Sister Marcella Moore. Hello to all of my other sisters over in the chat room, all of our guests. Love you to life. We will Amen. Keep you informed when Sister Ann will be coming back, because we need to finish this discussion and be prepared to get on board and tell your story.
Amen.
So until next time, oh my gosh, this has been such a blessing. Be well, be blessed. And another young lady with a wonderful story, Mary Lee, she did a song called Good Music, and I love the lyrics. It's just a feel-good song. So until next time, be well, be blessed. I'll see you back here next week, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, where I believe my special guest will be another sister from the Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement, Sister Arlene Spann. If I'm not mistaken, she is on next week. She's away in the Carolinas, and she couldn't join us here tonight. So join us here next week, and I'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for the Sunday morning inspiration. So until then, be well, be blessed, and give the show about 2 minutes or so, and you'll be able to click the link, come back, hear it in its entirety, and please share, share, and share some more. So until next time, Sister Ann, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
So much.
Thank you. God bless
you. Thank
you.
Nikki, if you're still here, thank you. Thank you. We will be in touch.
Yes, ma'am.
To all of our guests. Thank you. Thank you to my sisters, Sister Tina, Sister Marcella. Thank you so much for helping out this evening in the chat rooms. Love you all. Be well, be blessed. And as I said, this is good music from another one of my dear sisters, Tori Lee. Until next time, good night. Have a wonderful remainder of your weekend. And just remember, it's your time to emerge from your consecrated cocoon. See you soon.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Well, I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music.
Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Cologne, strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye. In my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trace.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away.
only good music. Oh, oh.
This concludes our broadcast day. Thank you so much for being here tonight. My special guest was Minister Ann Thomas. I hope that you received something that you needed from our time together this evening. So until next time, as always, I'm C. Maria Wall. Be well. Be blessed. We'll see you soon. Have a great evening and a God awesome and Jesus strong week.